So I look around our little flock today and I think, what would enable us to grow? What would cause people to want to come and be among us and worship God with us? Today, we're going to look at a healing of a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. Now, if God was healing like Jesus healed back then, wouldn't that be something that people might come to here to experience? Would Jesus working among us like that draw people here? Would that bring others to worship him too? So let's explore this healing and see if we can look a little bit at what was involved then that might open up the possibility of that sort of thing happening now. So we go to the story. The healing occurs just outside Jericho. While Jesus is on his way up to Jerusalem, and there he's going to go through that death and resurrection that he's already predicted three times is going to happen. The last time was in Mark 10, 32 to 34. That healing comes just, this particular healing comes just after James and John have asked for those positions of glory by Jesus' right hand and left hand in Jesus' kingdom. And he had to explain once again the reversal of status that comes with God's kingdom. That to be the greatest in his kingdom, one has to be everyone's slave. Now, where it happened, Jericho is considered to be the oldest continuous inhabited city in the world. When I was there a couple of years ago, I learned that archaeologists have identified 23 layers of civilization in what's called Tal Jericho, the mound that's built up by all those layers of city that were built there. And Jericho is 258 meters below sea level, which makes it extra hot. For a foot traveler like Jesus, this was his lowest point on his journey to Jerusalem. And he'd walked down the Jordan Valley from the region of Samaria. And from here, he would begin an 1,000-meter climb to Jerusalem at 750 meters above sea level. So Jericho was there because there are streams of abundant water, and that's why it's been settled there for 12,000 years. So it's in some ways a special place. And Jesus is accompanied by a large crowd, as well as his disciples. A lot of people by that stage knew about him, wanted to be with him. And at that time, Bartimaeus calls out. Now remember, Jesus had healed another blind man in John 9, and the question had been asked about whether the man's sin or his parents' sin was the cause of his blindness. In other words, blindness was considered to be a result of sin. So Bartimaeus was not just poor due to his inability to work as a blind man, but also he was regarded as a sinner, someone who became blind as a result of his sin. So he was the lowest of the low in their society. But he had heard of Jesus, like everyone else, no doubt. And he had made up his mind about him. So he yells out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That term, Son of David, referred to Jesus being king and the one for whom God's kingdom would come. The anointed one, the Messiah or Christ. That's who Bartimaeus had worked out Jesus to be. And so he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many in the crowd sternly ordered him to be quiet. They obviously didn't think that he, as a blind man, the lowest of the low, had the same right to be seen by Jesus as they did. Also, the term Son of David, with its kingly association, was a rather dangerous title to be yelling out. In occupied Israel, only the Roman emperor or their appointed person was allowed to be king. Some in the crowd could well have been worried about that claim being shouted out. Someone in authority could get alarmed. But Bartimaeus was determined. His life depended on this. He kept on shouting louder and louder. And Jesus heard him and stopped. Then Jesus turns to those in the crowd around him, even those who had been rebuking Bartimaeus. And he asked them to call Bartimaeus to where he was. They do as Jesus asks. I wonder how reluctantly it sometimes, or possibly, you know, the way they say it, it's a bit of a sort of surprise in what they say, you know. Look, he's actually calling you. So Bartimaeus throws off his cloak, leaps up, and comes to Jesus. Now, that cloak is probably his only real possession of value. But he wouldn't have been wearing it then because it's very hot during the day. Jericho's far too hot in that way. But it would have been what kept him warm at night, because it does cool down a lot. And he would have had very little shelter. So that cloak was extremely valuable to him. And the other thing is that he would have, during the day, spread his cloak in front of him. And that's where people might have occasionally thrown a little coin. And that way he could gather the cloak up and get all the coins, because otherwise he wouldn't see them. After all, he's blind. So he would have been dependent on his cloak for that as well. And when he flung off his cloak, he was not letting go only of his possession, but also any money he might have collected and the ability to keep warm at night or gather coins in the future. He was absolutely trusting in Jesus for his future. Then Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you? Do you, Bartimaeus, want to give up begging? Do you want to live differently, to work for a living, to have no reason to sit by the roadside all day, whining at passers-by, like so many beggars do even today?" It's quite a challenge. And Bartimaeus rises to it splendidly. Bartimaeus addresses him as Rabboni, my teacher, rather than just rabbi, teacher. But teacher here really means my great one, whom I look up to for life's instructions. It's not just someone who has knowledge. So he is really saying, "Jesus, you're my teacher." Another sign of his total trust in Jesus. And then he says, "Let me see again." He asks for his sight to be restored. And that's not just a physical ask, but a spiritual one, as he would have understood it, for his sins to be forgiven too. And Jesus heals him with the phrase he has often used, "Your faith has made you well." Mark is quite clear. Bartimaeus is a model to imitate. Unlike the rich young man a few passages earlier who asked for eternal life, Or the disciples who asked for prestige, power, glory. Bartimaeus asked for what he needed, a new life, and what would enable him to follow Jesus. Unlike the disciples who hadn't really understood what Jesus was about, he is already a man of faith, courage, true discipleship. So he follows Jesus on the way. And the way was the early Christian word for Christianity, before they had the word Christianity. He must have been known to the early church as a member of the church, part of it, because he's referred to by his name. He was known as a Christian. Now, the other significant feature of this healing is that it's the second specifically described healing of a blind man in Mark. And Mark is a very carefully composed gospel. It has a special meaning, therefore. Both healings point to eyes being opened, not just physically, but in terms of insight as well, and of really seeing who Jesus was and what he was about. The first healing came with the disciples realizing who Jesus was as the Messiah. There was the healing where it was in two stages and Jesus spat on the man's fingers and made mud and put that on the man's eyes and that sort of thing. The second healing is pointing to the realization of Jesus being the one who would give his life to bring salvation for all. When Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you," saved is not just about physical healing, but carries the wider, deeper meaning of spiritual healing and being made whole in every aspect of life. So now to us. What can we apply to ourselves from this passage? But first of all, I want us to think that, well, remember here that healing was the restoration of not just sight for Bartimaeus, but also of his social and spiritual standing. Real healing brings complete wholeness, life transformation, the ability and desire to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. So do we want to see that sort of healing and transformation happen for people in and through this church? What might that require of us? One of the things I think the story about Bartimaeus points to is that it requires that we want this also for the least among us in our society. People like Bartimaeus. We would see those who are most excluded from pure or polite society as at least as worthy of Jesus' attention as ourselves. We would welcome though these among us in our services and groups, as these are the people that Jesus wants to touch as well. If we want to see healing, first slide, thanks. Next one, so that's for the least. If we want to see healing, then we need to be listening to Jesus' call to bring those who need healing, who are crying out for healing, to him. So if someone shares their sorrows, their need, their sickness, or their pain about anything, if they share that with you, will you bring them then and there to Jesus? Pray for them simply right then and there. Or do you have some excuse not to? It's a bit embarrassing, just as those people were embarrassed by Bartimaeus yelling out for Jesus. Are we prepared to step out and pray bring someone to Jesus when they are in need. And then if we want to see healings and God really at work among us, we would not silence any truth that might be dangerous. The truth that our society might say is not politically correct. Today, I think that's getting clearer and clearer. If we want to see healing and wholeness come to people, we have to be able to name what is pathological in our society, what is not whole. Frankly, God does not want to only heal physical or mental sickness. God wants to heal sexual sickness as well. God wants to heal the sinfulness in our very identity in every one of us. None of us is all okay. You're okay and I'm okay? No way. That is not biblical truth. If we want to see healing in our church, we need to be open to being healed ourselves. Each of us may not have a physical ailment, but we all have something that we know is standing in the way of being the people we believe God wants us to be and what he made us to be. What does the healing of Bartimaeus, and especially his behavior, show us about being healed ourselves? We need to recognize who Jesus is, first of all, to open our eyes to the wonder and the challenge he presents us with. That challenge to make him king over all. We need to be prepared to speak out that truth even when it might make us feel socially uncomfortable or be embarrassing. Can we speak out truth about Jesus, how we trust him and why, who he is to us? If we can't openly acknowledge him, do we really believe that he can heal us in a way that we would witness to others about? If we won't be able to witness to his transformation of our lives, then such transformation would have no influence on our church life or beyond. We may need to throw off what we rely on instead of becoming whole. For example, if we're sick or needy in some way, we can become used to being cared for, being a victim of our sickness or brokenness, and not really want to step out from under that care. We need to let go of the small, selfish comforts of victimhood, the excuses we have for not really stepping out and following Jesus, the weaknesses that we're used to catering for in ourselves. Just as Bartimaeus needed to throw away his cloak and begging lifestyle to be ready to follow Jesus as a whole and transformed disciple. We need to focus on what is really needed for us to be whole. Our attention and our prayers for ourselves, focused on blessings, our rewards in life now and in the future, or on our own power, material or spiritual, or our own position or reputation. That's what the sort of things that the people asked Jesus for before. But what is needed, they're not necessary for us to be faithful disciples. What is needed is our continuing transformation into wholeness, into the person whom God created us to be, able to humbly, faithfully, and more closely follow Jesus. And finally, it is our faith that will save us too. Our trust in Jesus for every aspect of our living and being. Then we can follow him wherever he may lead us and witness to him in our church and in the world. So, are we ready to see God so at work among us, healing, transforming, restoring lives in such a way that this church can grow? The people will want to join us in praising and worshiping God for what he's doing among us. Do we want to see Jesus healing now? Let's examine our hearts. Examine our hearts before him and consider our willingness to put our trust in the one who heals. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you as those in need of your transforming spirit, of your healing in so many ways to become the whole person you want us to be, able to follow you in our daily lives. Lord, reveal to us what may be standing in the way. Lord, we are all challenged by your call to be your disciples, fully in every way. We can only trust in you.